Welcome to PCMC. I am your host, Mike Mangiorno. I am joined today once again with Vin Forte.
Oh my God.
How are you, Vin?
I'm good. I'm loving the vintage seltzer over there. I love that design.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I'm a sucker for like old food wrapping that hasn't changed over the past like 30 years.
You and Mark Summer.
Yeah, exactly.
You're all about Unwrapped.
Yeah, we're all about Unwrapped.
Cool.
Like, cool. I love...
I thought you were going to say the vintage Star Wars toys on the wall, but you were like, nope, the seltzer bottle.
No, yeah, the seltzer. the 89-cent seltzer bottle on the table.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, what year of design is that?
Oh, God, I don't know. It looks like Wonder 50s? Bread.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It looks very Wonder Bready.
Yeah. So, today's episode is an interesting one. It's one I've been thinking about for a while. It's one that's been percolating in my mind for a while. And what we're going to talk about is interviews. And not job interviews.
Nope.
Interviews in media. Because something you and I have in common is we both are fans of David Letterman.
Mm-hmm.
And we're both sort of pop culture man children.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just a lot of old interviews that I like. Sometimes I'll get on a sort of jag where I fall down like a Dick Cavett YouTube hole.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to chat with you about like some of our favorite interviews. I didn't want to do like a top because there were too many. I have too many in mind. And yeah. I also, a lot of them would be Letterman. Because I think Letterman is one of the best shows ever.
Mm-hmm.
The original Letterman.
Yeah.
And even the early CBS days.
Mm-hmm.
So the first one that comes to mind when I think about classic interviews is Crispin Glover on Letterman.
Oh, I'm strong. I could kick.
Yeah. He comes out. This is the old Letterman show. And this was when Letterman was. This is pre-Letterman on antidepressants.
Yeah.
So this is like not.
He's just like having none of it.
Yeah, it's not new wise man with a beard Zen Letterman. It's old edgy Letterman. And he was easy to piss off back then. And Crispin Glover comes out basically in a costume. He played this weird performance character called Mr. Farr.
Well, no, it was from a movie.
Oh, was it really?
But didn't he
make that movie?
He may have had something to do with it. The movies that, when I think of Crispin Glover making movies,
yeah,
it's the like very David Lynchian, I think they're called like, his movies are called like What Am I or like What Is This?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, he had an album called What Is the Answer?
Yeah, What Is the Answer? Where like if you knew the answer, you could call the number on the back.
Right,
and
that's where Clowny Clown Clown comes from. If you want to see the most frightening thing ever made,
Clowny Clown Clown,
Clowny Clown Clown by Crispin Glover.
It's a music video, and that character shows avant-garde. Up in it.
Yes, yes, that character.
And
is
it's
in
just
it.
Like. It's just so like weird. Like David Lynch would love to have made this.
Yeah, it's so weird. And disturbing because it's about clowns.
Yeah, it's...
So he comes on Letterman, and he's wearing a really weird, obvious wig and, like, bell-bottoms, which is not the style in the 80s. And he is immediately, like...
He has, like, a rock collection, too.
Yeah, and in the original Letterman, like, if you're not playing along immediately, Dave is trying to get you to fuck up. You know, Letterman, you could see in Letterman's eyes where he was just like, all right, what the fuck are you doing? And he's like, I'm strong. And then he like gets up and starts doing like, he looks like he's high. We should say that. I think he looks like he's on acid or something. Mm-hmm. He's like way tripping out. And he gets up and he starts like doing these like not very impressive like kicks. Mm-hmm. But he almost kicks Letterman in the face.
Yeah, and then Letterman's just like, all right, we're going to go to commercial.
And he immediately throws to fucking break. And then he comes back and he's fucking gone.
Yeah.
And it was one of the classic fucking, it's a classic interview. You can look it up on YouTube. It's very, you know, just look up fucking Crispin Glover Letterman. It'll come up immediately.
Yeah. If we're talking about Letterman interviews, someone did a, it's not a supercut because they put all the interviews together, mm-hmm. but it's all three of Harmony Korine's interviews on Letterman.
Which one, who's Harmony Korine now?
He's the director, he directed Kids in the 90s?
Mm.
Or he wrote Kids and then he directed Gummo. And he just directed that new Matthew McConaughey movie, The Beach Bum. And he did Spring Breakers as well.
Oh, so he's that...
But he was like 19.
How are those interviews?
Very weird, because he's just like very awkward.
Yeah.
Throughout all of them. And like Letterman's asking him like, so how'd you get this movie made? And he's like, well, I don't... Beats me. And like the crowd, the crowd's like loving it. Like they're really into like his awkwardness. but he's also like this very peculiar person, because Letterman's asking him, like, well, what was your inspiration for like this part of the movie? And he's like, well, you know that I'm really inspired by, like, you know that African American actor Stephen Fetch. And he's like bringing up Stephen Fetch references, and like he's talking about like he's writing a book about race riots and
what the fuck.
Yeah, but he wrote a book called A Crack at the Race Riot.
Don't all his movies have, like, kids fucking? Doesn't he have, like, weird sexual shit in his movies?
Yeah, very avant-garde, very weird.
Yeah.
And he talks about, like, so what was this scene about? Like, well, like this movie's very, like, it's about kids. Mm-hmm. Like, what were some of the inspirations? And he's like, well, I knew this guy named, like, Parkwheat, and he got barbecue skewer stuck up both his ass cheeks. And
What era of Letterman is this?
Like early CBS.
Early CBS, okay.
And then he does two more interviews, and then he gets banned from Letterman forever.
Oh, really? How'd he get banned?
This was just a rumor for a long time. At the end of this, like, clip, this, like, supercut, is like a James Franco interview from Letterman, because Franco is promoting Spring Breakers.
Yeah.
And Franco brings up, like, hey, I heard you banned Harmony Korine. What was the deal with that? And he goes, like, I heard this is why, and Letterman confirms it. Harmony Korine was supposed to be on an episode once, and Letterman goes to the back room and finds him, like, high as fuck, digging through Meryl Streep's, like, bag.
What?
Yeah, like, her purse. Like, he went into her dressing room because she was also on the show.
You don't do that to Meryl.
Yeah.
Well, fuck. I'm for that.
Yeah.
Good job, Letterman. There's a great old Letterman where you have, it was from the old show, the NBC show, which is now Seth Meyers' show. And he's got on Harrison Ford. And this is back before Harrison Ford was fun.
Mm.
And Harrison Ford just sitting there, and he's just taciturn. And he's like, so he pulls out, I think, an Indiana Jones or a Star Wars lunchbox. Letterman does.
Yeah.
And he's like, look at this. You're on a lunchbox here. And he's like, yeah, that's great. And he's like, yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's like the Alec Guinness interview.
Oh, where he beats Alec Guinness into saying, may the force be with you.
Yeah.
Alec Guinness is there to talk about, I think, a biography he wrote, and autobiography. And Letterman's like, yeah, you probably say the most famous line in movie history. And he's like, and everyone claps, and Alec Guinness is like, yeah. Alec Guinness famously didn't like talking about Star Wars.
Yeah.
And then Letterman's like, say it.
It's like, yeah, I know. It's like the Simpsons, like, say the line, Bart.
It almost feels like the Chris Farley show.
Yeah, like, he's like, remember when you were in Star Wars?
He's like, say it. Yeah. And he's like, he doesn't want to. And then Letterman keeps pushing him.
Yeah.
And he, like, rolls his eyes and he's like, may the force be with you. And then everyone goes crazy. And he fucking, his soul dies a little bit. All the Harvey P. Carr.
Oh my god!
The artist of American Splendor, those were great.
Yeah,
he had a lot of, like, weirdos, like Brother Theodore.
Yeah,
just people that would come on and Letterman would just sort of let them go.
Yeah,
Hunter Thompson.
Yeah, Hunter S. Thompson. Do you remember the Conan remote where Conan went to Hunter S. Thompson's ranch and, like, shot guns of him?
Yes. What are some of your favorite Conans?
Oh, anytime Norm MacDonald's on.
Oh, yeah. Norm MacDonald would always be good on panel after his spot was over.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of my memories of him are, there's, what was that classic interview where,
with the woman from Melrose Place?
Yeah, and she was in the Carrot Top movie.
Yeah.
Chairman of the board.
Yeah. Well, first, she's like, yeah,
the Carrot Top movie.
Right, but, like, before that, she's like, yeah, Conan's like, yeah, you had to make out with Carrot Top in this movie. And Norm's like, the
he
big thing with that interview
is
at the end, like, because he's, like, knocking her, he's making fun of her fucking Carrot Top in the movie.
Yeah.
And then Conan's like, oh, you know, what's the name of the movie? And she's like, Chairman of the Board. And Conan's like, ah, do something with that funny boy. And then he's like, I bet the board is spelled B-O-R-E-D. And then just, like, the whole place goes unglued.
And Letterman. And Conan fucking,
he just, like, gets up.
He, like, turns on his chair and Conan loses it. That's such a great, and even she laughs, like, fuck, he got me.
Yeah, like, fuck,
I mean, it's
he
such
got
a
me.
Shitty thing to do,
movie.
But he was great. And now he'll come on, and he'll, like, well, the old, now he's changed his format, Conan, but the TBS Conan show, he would come out and do, like, one joke. Like, just one joke a segment, and these long, meandering jokes.
Oh, like the moth joke?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, God. It's so fucking good. You can look that up.
Yeah. Or, just these long stories about Andy Richter being gay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Noted homosexual and like old, Andy Richter.
Old jokes. Like, he'd be like, I was eating my breakfast, and then Andy Richter comes in, and is like, hey, Andy, what are you doing? And he's like, last night I made $705 giving hand jobs. And he's like, oh, wow, you did. Hey, who gave you 5 cents? And he goes, all of them.
Or what was the oral sex just, one?
Such an old, stupid, homophobic joke.
Yeah, what was the oral sex one where he's like, yeah, my wife, she wasn't feeling so good. She was in the hospital recently. And the doc says, we tried everything. And, there is one thing. It's a little unconventional, but it might just do the trick. And he's like, doc, I'll do anything. I'll do anything for that old battle axe. And he's like, well, in my experience, the woman will feel better if you perform oral sex on her. And he's like, okay, I'll do anything. So I go in, and I perform oral sex on her. And then I come out, and he goes, did it work? I'm like, doc, she's choking.
Those are like street jokes.
Right.
That Norm MacDonald would repeat on talk shows. And Conan would be like, what's this crazy shit is he going to say?
Yeah.
You know who's always great on Conan? Always?
Harlan Williams.
Oh, wow. Yeah. He's good. That's not what I was going to say. I was going to say Jeff Goldblum.
Oh, yeah.
Jeff Goldblum and him have great. A really good rapport. Yeah, almost flirty.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because Jeff Goldblum's like, oh, you have your nice skin today.
Yeah, Conan showed him his pubes.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
He was like, to the car, it smashes his drapes. And Conan, like, stands in front of him with his back to the camera and shows him.
What about Roberto Benigni on Conan?
Oh, I don't remember that one.
Oh, my God. You've never seen Roberto Benigni on Conan? He's just, like, jumping all around and, like, acting like Roberto Benigni. And then he's just, like, amped up to 11 the whole interview. Yeah. And he's just like, Conan, I love you. Like, I love you. I love you, Conan. But then at the end of the episode, he's like, if you do not like my movie, I will give you my jacket. And then he's like, yeah, give me a jacket. And then he's like, we've switched jackets right now. And they swap jackets and, like, his jacket is, like, so tiny on Conan. And then, like, he goes, now you give me your pants. And the whole audience is like, yeah, give him your pants. And they swap pants.
Yeah.
And it's just this moment where it's like, okay. And now they're just like swapping pants.
Oh, God. TV where you don't know what's going to happen is so... That's like when late night was so good. I mean, maybe I'm old now, so I don't... You know, I like Kimmel a little bit. I don't know. Fallon I've never liked. The thing about Fallon is... Well, the thing about all of them is they all are made to be little digital chunks. Like, they're all, like, little bits that could be put online.
Yeah, I would say Colbert is the closest because he has that political bend to him still.
Yeah, yeah.
Where it's like, you're going to get a real conversation. Like, I watched the Howard Stern interview.
Yeah, what'd you think of that?
That was really, really good. That was, like, an extended 30-minute interview.
Yes,
and,
yes.
And, like, you learn a lot from it. Yeah. But
Stern himself has some great interviews. Do you remember when he interviewed Julia Roberts?
Oh, didn't she, like, leave?
Well, I don't know if she left, but it was, like, a big deal because he couldn't get her for so long because she was scared. And, like, she didn't say anything for, like, the first 20 minutes. And then, like, eventually he just starts doing the shit that she was afraid he was going to do. Like, you shave yourself and, like, all that shit he was famous for in the... But he's gotten better over the years, and it's less about that. It's less about the sexist shit now. Like, he had on, like, this year, recently, Paul McCartney... And McCartney gave the most honest answer to why the Beatles broke up than he's ever given. And he was like, yeah, it's Yoko, and here's why. And we were all doing this, and John was doing this, and it was just like, wow, like,
you got him to do it.
Yeah, he got him to just be like, fuck it, at this point I'm just going to give you an honest answer.
Yeah.
And I think, I've heard people talk about being on his show, and, like, he's on, so you come in while he's on.
Yeah.
So you're immediately, like, put on your heels, and then they throw a mic on you, and then he almost rope-a-dopes you. Or he would in the old days. He would just talk to you for a long time and, like, throw stuff at you and compliment you and then, like, throw a curveball at you, and, like, he would get crazy stuff out of people.
Yeah. I would say this interview only aired once because there was one episode of the show.
Mm-hmm.
The Orson Welles Muppet interview.
Oh, with him and... Who was he talking to?
He was talking to Frank Oz and Jim Henson.
Yes.
But, like, they were... They had the puppets with them, but, like, you could still see them.
Yeah.
Like, it was very
weird.
Yeah,
it was, like, it was, like, very old... It was very overly directed, that show. It was a pilot. And...
It was shot in the round.
Yeah. Like. And they're on... Basically, it's, like, it's... They're on the stage with the puppets, but then there's, like, an old-fashioned, like, spotlight. And the spotlight is on the puppets. So, like, you can see the puppeteers, but there's no focus on them.
Yeah.
Yeah, he also had Angie Dickinson on that episode.
Oh, yeah, well, of course.
We'll be back with the incomparable Angie Dickinson.
And Burt Reynolds, his good friend.
He's somebody that annoys me now, but Bill Maher had a lot of great interviews.
Mm.
And someone else that annoys me, but I like their writing, even though I disagree with them a lot, was the late Christopher Hitchens. Mm. And there would be a lot of, especially during the early Iraq War... Hitchens would be really good in it. Do you remember when Hitchens got in a fight with...
Mos Def?
Yes.
And he was like, Mr. Definitely.
Mr. Def. Can I call you Mr. Def? And I forget what Mos Def said. And, you know, there's... That show's weird because it's a panel, and then, like, they bring on another guest, but the next guest they bring on is always, like, a celebrity who doesn't really know anything.
So it's like, we're going to bring on Margaret Cho.
Right. Like, and so Mos Def starts talking about whatever, and then Christopher Hitchens is like, you know, you sound like a man who has no idea what he's talking about, or something like that. Yeah. And you can see Bill Maher's like, ugh. And it gets really, really contentious. There was also, there was a lot of good moments on Real Time. It's like amazing to me that that show's still on.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't Ben fit Affleck anymore. Flipped out on him. Well, because Bill Maher's Islamophobic.
Yeah.
You know, I'm an atheist, but when your atheism takes the form of Islamophobia, it is... You're couching it in a certain xenophobia.
Well, the thing I hate about Bill Maher is he's one of these guys that's always like... You know, these college kids and, like, you know, the young people think they know what's going on. It's like, yeah.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, you're just fucking out of touch.
Yeah, I'm sorry that you can't work at colleges anymore. People don't want to laugh at your homophobic jokes anymore.
Yeah.
I feel that way about Seinfeld, too. I can't stand Seinfeld anymore.
Oh, God, that... The Michael Richards?
Oh, God, that Letterman. Right, well, that was so weird.
Because it was a Jerry Seinfeld interview.
Right, and Michael Richards, to get the backup, Michael Richards had gotten in trouble because he... On stage at some comedy club, he called an African-American in the audience the N-word and, like, kept leaning into it.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to string you up and, like,
treat you like they would in the 50s. And somebody, like, recorded on their phone, and it became a big scandal, as it should have. And then...
But then, like, a day later...
Yeah.
Seinfeld just happened to be going on Letterman.
And he, like...
He basically threw to Michael Richards out
of
nowhere.
Yeah, he's like, all of a sudden you see a screen with Michael Richards on it, and it's like, what are we doing phone interviews now? And then everyone starts laughing, and Seinfeld's like, don't laugh. And it's like...
He's like, don't laugh. It's not funny.
Yeah, it's like, you know what, Dad? Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, it's like, you know what? It is funny. It's fucking weird.
This whole thing is weird.
Because he's on, like, a weird green screen, and it's like, I didn't know I was going to see him today.
And it's like, why are you defending him?
Yeah, and also he was like, he did that thing that when people apologize for being racist, like they all do, where it's like, I'm going to get to the center of why, like, I have these feelings for the Afro-American community.
Yeah, it's inside. Oh, right.
He kept calling them Afro-Americans.
Which is like, oh, dude.
Just call them black people.
Yeah.
Don't, like, this, like, weird, like, tiptoeing around. It's like, no, we call it white people, black people.
Yeah. Do you remember Madonna on Letterman?
Yeah, didn't she show her boobies?
No, that was
Drew Barrymore.
That was Drew Barrymore. Madonna came out and wouldn't answer questions and was being very contentious and wouldn't leave. So everyone else got bumped because they're not going to physically drag you out.
Yeah.
So he threw a commercial and then they'd come back and she'd still be there.
Yeah.
And then he throws the commercial again. Then when they come back in the third break, he's smoking a cigar, which he smokes cigars but never on air.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess he was like, fuck it at this point. And then he's smoking and she's smoking too. And you could tell he wants her to leave, but he's also like, it becomes this sort of like chess game.
Yeah.
It's very weird.
Yeah, it's almost like they get Stockholm Syndrome at a certain point.
Yeah.
Where like they kind of like gain this mutual respect for each other.
And she's talking about, like, peeing in the shower. She's like, you pee in the shower?
Yeah.
Shit like that. Remember when Joaquin Phoenix was on?
Yeah, though that's
been
deflated.
Was that a character?
That was a character. So, like, that's been deflated over the years by the fact that, like, it was part of that movie he did.
Yeah, but no one saw that movie.
I know.
What was that movie supposed to be?
That was the movie I'm Not There.
Yeah.
Where, like, I think he was playing a fictionalized version of himself, like, trying to start a rap career.
Well, okay. He was just on the show. He's just kind of is not answering questions and giving one-word answers.
Well, I always said, even from, like, the first day that aired, that there was a tip-off at the end, right before they cut to commercial, mm-hmm. when the band is playing. They cut back, and he's, like, shaking Letterman's hand, like, hey, thanks for playing along, like...
Letterman does have a great line where he goes, oh, I'm sorry you couldn't be here tonight.
Yeah.
But you know, it's funny. Just today, Letterman was on WTF with Mark Maron. Mm. And he said something that I never heard before. Mark Maron was like, tell me about Andy Kaufman. And he goes, oh, Andy Kaufman was such a professional. He told me everything, the whole game plan. He'd come to me and say, I'm going to say this, and then Jerry Law is going to come out, and then we're going to say that, and we're going to do that. He was like, every bit of it's planned. He never sprung anything on me. And I was... The legend you hear about Andy Kaufman was that, you know, I think that movie that they made about him had, like, spread a lot of weird mythology about him.
I don't like that movie.
I loved it at the time, but looking at it now and knowing about fucking Jim Carrey's fucking performance...
It feels like sometimes when
someone gets... I mean performance gets, on set being an asshole.
But, like, sometimes when performers after the fact get a hold of someone's legacy... They try and, like, retroactively insert themselves into that person's, like, timeline. Yeah.
Well, he, I mean...
I think Jim Carrey totally tried to do that.
He's like, he's living inside me. He is... I was Andy during that time. And it's like, no, you weren't. And
that, when, and, like, the movie is, like, way too... What's even the right way to... It, like, goes in these weird diversions.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Makes you think that Andy Kaufman was, like, this weird, like... I mean, he was weird, but, like, they made you think that, like, he was a spiritual guy.
Right, right. And from what
and
you
he
hear,
died
about,
doing experimental having experimental surgery on him.
What you hear from people that know him was like, it was all very crafted, and he would be real with people.
Yeah,
he was real with Letterman. Let's talk about some old interviews. Did you ever see on David Cavett, the old Groucho?
Oh yeah,
this is the one where Groucho's like in the wheelchair and he's got the blanket over it and he's got on the like golf hat. I always think of it because whenever they show like old Krusty the Clown on The Simpsons, they modeled him after old Groucho. And that's one of Groucho's like talking very slowly. And it's not very funny, but it's fascinating. He had some really fascinating interviews, Dick Cavett. He had Hitchcock on.
Yeah.
Which was really great. And Hitchcock, you could get him talking, but like he had these like sort of pre-constructed tidbits.
Mm.
So he wouldn't really answer questions.
I'm kind of fascinated by the interviews that, not even like full interviews, but like everyone's seen like compilations of like Johnny Carson clips.
Yeah, yeah.
And like a lot of those clips, you would be like run out of town today.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like the famous Dolly Parton one, where he's like, I would give a year's pay to peek under your dress right now.
Oh my God.
It's like, can you imagine like Stephen Colbert or Jimmy Fallon like doing that today?
Right. Conan used to do that and he's had to tone it down.
Right. He definitely has.
Yeah.
But even Conan was more like tongue-in-cheek about it.
Right, right. Because he was like, I'm a big dumb nerd. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. I always loved, when you look up Johnny Carson's views, I always love Rodney Dangerfield is great. There's one, because Rodney Dangerfield would just come and sit on panel. He wouldn't stand. Oh, he would stand up sometimes, but he'd come and he'd sit. And he would just do his act sitting in the chair.
Oh, yeah.
And you just see Johnny Carson just sitting there like, barely doing anything and like being like just like giving him stupid setups like he'd just be sitting there like doing nothing.
You saw your doctor today.
Yeah, I heard you went to the doctor today. Oh, I heard you got in a fight with your wife. Like he's just giving him these setups and then oh God, there's one really fun one where I forget what happens, but I think at some point the audience doesn't laugh and like he has like two bombs in a row and whenever he would bomb, Roddy Danger will go, that's all right, that's okay, that's all right. That's all right, okay. You know, the next one's going to be good. And then he's bombing and he looks at Carson, and Carson's like, how you doing over there? And, like, it's, like, the first real moment.
Yeah.
And he starts cracking up because it's like, you came out here like a fucking bulldozer. Keep going, bro. Like, keep going. Don't let me stop you. And then, of course, Don Rickles was always great on... those old shows.
Here's the thing. What are your favorite Leno moments?
Oh, okay. Cricket. Here's one that it's hard to find. Bobcat Goldthwait sets the chair on fire.
Yeah.
Without anyone knowing about it, then I think Leno puts it out with water and makes him sit in the chair, and like you can see he's really mad at him, and then they throw it a break and he's gone, and then Bobcat Goldthwait was banned from the Tonight Show. He might still be. I could see Jimmy Fallon being the kind of guy to be like, yeah, I'm gonna keep it up in Jay's honor. But that was a fun moment. And of course, Hugh Grant.
Oh yeah. Well, that was
was just the luck of the booking.
Yeah.
They had him booked and then he got caught with a sex worker. And he was just, I guess his PR people were like, just go on and talk to him. And he sits down and the first thing he says is, what were you thinking? And then he just sets him up for a big apology. And that was the first night where he beat Letterman in the ratings.
Yeah.
And then he typically beat Letterman. But that doesn't matter because people are stupid. Like, rating, what does ratings matter?
Yeah, that and, like, I just can't picture people who were watching Letterman tuning over to Leno and then, like, seeing it and being like,
oh, this is actually good.
Yeah, I'll stick with this.
Like, I remember my dad being like, I gotta watch what's going on with fucking Hugh Grant, but then he went back to Letterman.
Yeah.
We used to, with the VCR, tape every Letterman, because my dad was a huge Letterman guy. Mm. And that's why, like, the Madonna interview, I've seen that, like, 7 times, because we would just watch them over and over and over again. They were so good. You know, going back to Conan, though, Conan, because it's a later show and you get less A-list guests, Conan was, like, the first time I ever saw Martin Scorsese. Because Conan would have directors and authors and stuff, which is, you know,
people.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's not always like fucking third banana on the left on the sitcom. Yeah. It would be like, I remember Martin Scorsese coming on and talking about Kundun, which is his movie about the Dalai Lama. Mm. And I was already into movies, but I had never seen Martin Scorsese. I just heard his name and I was like, oh, this is so interesting.
Yeah, Craig Ferguson had a lot of really good interviews.
He did.
Remember when he interviewed, like, Arch Desmond Tutu and, like, won a Peabody Award?
No, I don't remember that.
Yeah, that's what he won the Peabody Award for. He did, like, an hour-long special, like, interviewing, like, Desmond Tutu.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
I feel like Craig Ferguson, like, flies under the radar in retrospect, but, like, I remember always watching his interviews.
Oh, yeah.
They just felt like conversations.
And then he would always, like, the bit was he would rip up the cards and throw them away. And then he would end the interview with, like, yeah, do you want to do an awkward silence? Do you want to do a harmonica? Yeah. Like, he would, like, do a bit. Would you like to pick a fruit?
Yeah.
That show was great, and he didn't want to do it forever.
Which I appreciate. Like, yeah, I have wanted him to keep doing it? Yeah, but you know what? He's not Larry King in it.
Yeah. I mean, as much as I love Letterman, towards the end, Letterman was not funny at all. And, you know, you and I talk about this all the time. Stern is not funny at all anymore.
No.
And I don't know if I would find his 80s stuff funny now, being that I'm a more progressive person.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of it's very sexist. But, you know, the heyday when he was a shock jock in the 80s and 90s, you know, that it was like, it was really like fucking, it was like Sodom and Gomorrah. It was like a bacchanal. It was just like, what is happening on the show? Yeah. It's chaos. Now he's like Imus. Now it's just like, he doesn't crack a joke. He's very slow. It's all just these long interviews. I don't even know if they do bits anymore. I don't pay for that service.
No, I don't pay for Sirius. Are you kidding me?
No fucking
There was
way.
A time where I paid for it, and it
me
felt
too, at
like,
the beginning.
Yeah, in the beginning, like, it genuinely felt like the same feeling when your family, like, got cable for the first time.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh my God, this is going to be like what radio is now.
But then it was then, like, only Howard Stern.
Right, it was only Howard Stern. Howard Stern basically, like, fucked over satellite radio, to be completely honest.
Right, it could have grown without him. He was an investment that they shouldn't have made.
Right, because he was like a billion-dollar investment.
Right.
And for $1 billion, they could have gotten, like, a million different, like, smaller personalities, grown them,
right,
and made, like, a couple names for themselves.
They could have paid Emilio Sparks a little more for working over there.
Exactly.
He's a board op there.
Yeah, exactly. They could have paid him a little more money. They could have...
They could have done a lot. But you were about to say, before I cut you off, podcasts happened.
Yeah, podcasts happened, which are mostly free. And if they're not free, they usually have, like, a really good, like, trade-off business model where, like, we're going to give you 2 free episodes a week, yeah. but if you pay us, like, you know, $4 a month, like, you get an extra episode.
Or a lot of people do Patreon now, where yeah. it's like, you give if us you a few bucks, us. We'll give you a couple extra episodes just for you, just for the fans.
Yeah.
Like, I listen to We Hate Movies, which is a really funny show, and if you pay for their Patreon, you get... a special show called Gleep Glossary, which is them reading through the Star Wars glossary of characters and just riffing on it. It's pretty funny. Well, since we're talking about podcasts, you know, Marc Maron, WTF, the first 100 of them, when he would let them go long and he didn't know what, and he was like breaking down. He like yeah. clearly had mental problems. Like, those are so good, those early episodes.
Oh, yeah, because basically, like, all the guests he would get are people he had issues with.
Sure, yeah, and it'd be like, it would almost start
are we
off
good?
Like, yeah, yeah, right. It would end like, are we good? Did we make up? Because sometimes it start off like we're kind of not happy with each other. The Louis C.K. episode where yeah. Louis C.K. was like, honestly, like, I needed you to be my friend when I was going through a divorce and you weren't fucking there, and then you came out of nowhere when I got famous.
Yeah.
And then Louis C.K. cried talking about his kids.
Yeah.
And everyone, I mean, now Louis C.K. is a complicated character, but that yeah. was a big moment. You also had Obama.
Yeah.
I mean, think about that. Presidents Obama do interviews. Right. I can't think. Can you think of, you might know better than me, has there ever been that something that in depth with a sitting president? While he was president, he sat for hours
in someone's garage
and like talked for real. That, do you remember he said the N-word?
Yeah.
And I remember hearing it going, this is going to be the only thing they talk about. And it yeah. was. They were yeah. like, presidents say the N-word. And by the way, he was having a conversation about the N-word.
Right.
Right. He was having a conversation, like, it was this ironic
well,
conversation.
You know, he also wore a tan suit once. So.
Oh, well, yeah, what a disgrace. Come on now. Don't wear a tan suit, you know. It's okay to fuck a porn star where your third wife is pregnant, but, you know, don't wear a tan
yeah,
suit.
Yeah, did we all forget that part in the craziness of Donald Trump? That, like.
No, because the scandal isn't even that he cheats on his wife with porn stars, it's that he pays them off.
Yeah.
It's the scandal. But Obama once got in trouble because he had a coffee cup in his hand while he saluted oh, yeah. a Marine. Which,
meanwhile,
by the way,
Donald Trump shook hands with fuck or like
yeah.
or not no, he saluted the fucking North Korean general.
Yeah. Fucking idiot. Anyway. But you know, going back to Stern, there's a lot of Donald Trump on Stern. And he really shows himself. He was a real sort of creep. He would get so into the whole like sexism of 90s Stern and like, yeah, this girl yeah. and that girl, and I fucked her and I got in a relationship with her and
I moved on her like a bitch.
Yeah, and Howard Stern would just like be like, this guy's fucking crazy. Like,
yeah,
this guy's got all the money in the world, but he wants fame, and that's such a scary thing because it's like this guy will go out on a limb for no reason.
Well, going back to the Maron thing, I think I. Because, like, who else can he interview now? He's already interviewed, like, all the people I want him to interview.
I was saying,
I think I found the one.
Who?
And it's the one who already denied him, Jon Stewart.
Right, because Jon Stewart was like, I'm never going to forgive you.
Yeah, like, he called Jon Stewart up and was like, hey, I want to apologize to you. He's like, look, you want to apologize to me in private? You want to go out to lunch? Like, I'll do it. But, like, I'm not going on your podcast.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like you're just using me.
Yeah. Because he treated Jon Stewart like shit, and Jon Stewart is like, fuck you now.
All because of, what was it, like short attention span?
Yeah, theater. Yeah, some Jon Stewart started hosting some cable show after Maron was hosting it, so he thought he could shit on him for some reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. But those early Marons are great. You know, there was even a Maron a couple years ago that I did not expect to like. He was interviewing Nikki Glaser, who's this great comedian, mm-hmm. and, you know, she's a good comedian, but she's not, like, great. I wasn't particularly interested, but she starts talking about having an eating disorder, and then Maron starts talking about having eating problems, and I have eating problems, and I think a lot of people have eating yeah. problems. And it ended up being such a good, just forget about them and her celebrity. It was like just listening to these two people talk about like, yeah, I go on this diet and that diet, and I feel guilty when I have ice cream, blah, blah, blah. And it was just like, I was just like, wow, this is, I need to hear this conversation.
Yeah.
And that for me is like, that's what podcasts should be like, you know?
Oh, yeah. I think people got sick of like the junket style interview.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Of like I love the Norm Macdonald bit about how, like, Byron Allen gets all these big guests, but really he just goes to all these junkets.
Right.
And he, like, phrases things in a way that makes you, you know, to the untrained eye, think like he's friends with these people.
Right, right.
So he'll go to Harrison Ford and be like, "So Harrison, last time we spoke, you were renovating your house."
Right, right.
And Harrison Ford doesn't want to be racist, so he says, "Oh, yeah, yeah, we were." Like,
that's really funny. There's a crazy interview where Peter Falk and John Cassavetes and Ben Gazzara, the three of them did a lot of independent movies together. Yeah. They were in Husbands. They were in all these Cassavetes mm-hmm. movies. And they come on Dick Cavett, and they are drunk. Like, they are so obviously drunk. And then they're like, "You want to see us wrestle?" And Dick Cavett's like, what? And then they start wrestling mm-hmm. like animals on the set. It is one of the craziest things you've ever wow. seen on a talk show.
You just start wrestling. I want to see Peter Falk wrestling John Cassavetes.
It's amazing. Well, speaking of drunk people, do you remember fucking Danny DeVito drunk on The View?
Yeah.
That's a great one. I forget. Was that Jingle? No, not Jingle the Way.
Christmas with the Cranks?
Well, one of those Christmas movies. He's like, yeah. They were like, "How was the premiere last night?" He's like, "Last night hasn't stopped for me. I've been going all night." And he's just he's so fucking drunk.
I love, like, watching, like, wherever Danny DeVito pops up.
Yeah.
Like, there's it's a great clip of, you're not going to get the reference, but, like,
maybe a listener will.
Okay, but he's friends with Mike Patton, who's the lead singer of this band, Faith No More.
Sure.
It was, like, a big 90s band. They're still going. And he got into them because, like, Danny DeVito's son was into them. So then, like, all of a sudden, him and Mike Patton become friends, and, like, there's videos of them, like, doing artist-to-artist interviews with each other. And then, like, someone posts this clip one day of, like, Faith No More performing, and in the background of the stage, Danny DeVito's just watching it, but he's, like, taking a picture of his foot.
What?
He's, like, Instagramming, like, his foot, like...
Okay.
It's so weird.
All right.
What? It's like, Danny DeVito's just gonna do whatever he wants. Yeah, Danny DeVito also, like, super sweet guy. Like, you've ever seen clips of him, like, interviewing college kids.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I also heard, like, he was really, like, he's kept in touch with, what's her name from Matilda? And, like,
oh, Mara,
like,
Wilson, yeah.
Yeah, was, like, really a good person to her.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like Danny DeVito. His whole career is based on one joke. His whole career is because in the first episode of Taxi,
when he walks out,
he's yelling and he's, like, he's a mean guy dispatcher. Then he walks out and you see he's short.
Yeah.
Like, that joke is what made this man's career. What started this man's career.
Yeah.
And then he ended up being a good director, I think.
Yeah.
What about, Larry King had some great interviews in his long tenure. Oh, my God.
The Marlon Brando interview?
Oh, my God. Where he goes to Brando's house, and Brando's got his shoes off. And this is older, fatter Brando.
Yeah.
And Brando's got his shoes off, and he's got his feet up. And, that's the one where he goes, what Larry King goes, "You know, I see your house here, and there's nothing here that would indicate to me that you're an actor." And Brando's like, "I don't, who cares?" And then he goes, you won some Oscars. Where are your Oscars?" And then Brando's like, "I think I gave one to my maid." It's like crazy shit like that. But then he makes him sing with him.
Yeah.
Remember, he's like, Brando's like, "Larry, sing with me. And then he kisses Larry King on the lips.
He kisses him on the lips, yeah.
Yeah. There was a funny SNL parody of that with John Travolta playing Brando.
Yes.
This is in the 90s. Yeah. That was a great interview. He was great with... He did one of the last public interviews with Richard Nixon before he died. And that was really interesting because Nixon was like... He had this sort of apologetic tone to him.
Yeah.
But he also was like... You could tell he was a smart person. Like, he predicted...
He predicted Clinton winning.
It was a really interesting interview.
Honestly, the best Larry Kings, and I don't know, like, if there's anyone who does these not only as well, but at all anymore.
Mm-hmm.
The second a celebrity dies,
yeah,
he's, like, got the whole panel ready to go.
His cousin, his fucking grandson, his gardener.
You should look up. He did one when Liberace died.
Sure.
And he had, like... Everyone Liberace knew,
yeah.
And then he would occasionally cut to, like, a Liberace impersonator, like, out in Vegas.
Sure, why not?
And then, like, there's one part where I forget who, I think it was someone more famous on the panel, but I'm blanking on who it was. They were like, "Yeah, Liberace, you know, he wasn't the most skilled pianist." And there's, like, a long pause, and everyone's just like, what are you talking about? Like, he was Liberace.
You know, come to think of it, Larry King has had a big influence on podcasters, right? Because Larry King was the guy who was like, I don't do any research. I'm going to sit down. I don't know what you're going to, I don't know really anything about you. I'm going to really talk to you.
Yeah.
And that's what Maron does. That's what a lot of podcasters do. They just try to find it through the conversation rather than like what Stern does, where he knows a lot of shit, but he's trying to like trap you in different ways.
Yeah.
But Larry King, I remember Larry King with, there's one with Seinfeld where it looks like Seinfeld generally pissed at him, where he asks him some ridiculous question like, hey, is the show still on the air? And Seinfeld's like, what? Is that what you're asking?
That's where I like I agree with you that like going in with an inquisitive mind like Larry King is good, but also like you need to know that the show's not on the air anymore.
Yeah. Like, yeah,
because then you're just like, because then you just kill the whole interview.
You just look like, and you've insulted the guests.
Like, if I interviewed someone who, like, if I interviewed, like, Brian Stack again, who used to write for Conan.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so, how long you guys think you're going to be doing late night for?
Yeah.
Like, I'd just be like, what? We did that show, like, 10 years
ago.
Yeah,
right. You just kill the whole thing.
Yeah.
One amazing publicity stunt that you can tell it was a great idea, and then the minute you try to execute it, it's nothing. Mm-hmm. Was during one of the Friday the 13th movies, Arsenio Hall had Jason on.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, guys, tonight, Jason Voorhees.
The guy that doesn't talk.
Right. And so he, he goes, guys, so he, just like a normal guest, is like, all right, everyone, welcome, Jason Voorhees. And then I guess maybe it's the actor who plays him in the movie. Mm-hmm. And he's got, like, it's really good makeup. They really went out with that.
Yeah.
And he's got the machete, and he's got the Jason mask, and he's fucking acting with his body. And then he goes and sits on the couch, and he doesn't say anything because the character doesn't speak. Yeah. And then Arsenio's like, so, he asks him some bullshit questions. You got a movie coming out. Right? How you, like, killing campers? And then Jason just looks at him and, like, is, like, breathing, like you see his chest going in and out, and it's just like, wow, this is nothing. It immediately goes nowhere.
Arsenio Hall had some crazy interviews. Like, remember when Tupac Shakur was on?
Oh,
and said that, like, I think it was something to the effect of like, oh, so you worked with Janet Jackson? He was like,
yeah,
fuck her if she had AIDS, or like something like
that. There was some crazy shit on that show. Remember, he had Bill Clinton on. Bill Clinton played the saxophone.
Yeah, it
was and America fell in love with Bill Clinton. He was
the first black president after that.
God, what a racist thing. Yeah, that's what everyone's calling the first black president.
Because idea of an actual black president would never happen.
Right, and so this white off. Man must be black because he's playing a jazz instrument?
Yeah.
I don't understand. Well, but that was a big moment.
Hulk Hogan going on and talking about steroids.
Oh, I never saw that one.
Yeah, he comes on and basically, like, admits, like, everyone was doing steroids.
What about Hulk Hogan going on? Was it Letterman and Richard Belzer was guest hosting?
No, it was Richard Belzer. It was Richard Belzer's short-lived, like, talk show.
Oh, so he had his own talk show.
Yeah, it was Hulk Hogan and Mr. T.
Yeah.
And they wanted to, like, put Richard Belzer in a move. And he's like, is this safe? I don't know if this is safe. And they're like, yeah, it's safe. Like, Hulk Hogan, like, gets him in, like, a lock.
Sleeper hold.
In, like, a sleeper hold. And then he lets go, and Belzer just, like, hits the floor.
Yeah.
And the back of his head just, like, hits the linoleum floor.
He sued him for that.
Yeah.
Well, Belzer was kind of, like, being, like, above it all and making fun of wrestling.
Yeah.
And making jokes at their expense. So maybe
they put him in, like, a...
Well, that's what I think Hulk Hogan has said. He was like, I put a little pressure and I knocked him out.
Yeah.
And he goes out and then he just lets him drop on the floor. And you see him get up and he's like, cut to commercial.
Oh, yeah, like a pool of blood on
the floor. Yeah, like he fucking... Yeah, I think he sued him for that.
Yeah.
That's a crazy moment.
Oh, God.
What about Oprah interviewing the Ninja Turtles? Do you remember that one?
It was not Oprah interviewing the Ninja, it was Barbara Walters.
Oh, it was Barbara Walters, and excuse me.
At the end
me.
Of the interview...
Yeah.
The whatever like mechanism in one of their suits like fails.
Yes.
And it starts like pouring water.
Right.
But the question she asks them is like, so tell me about your mother. And then like Leonardo starts crying.
Right.
And because it's a genuine flub, Barbara Walters just starts laughing at him.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then they just cut the interview.
Yeah, yeah. Cause the joke was everyone would cry on her thing.
Yeah.
So they were like, they asked about their mother and then he was supposed to cry, but it was supposed to just drip down and it's like shooting out of his mask. God, that was weird.
Yeah. Oh.
We were talking the other day about Sally Jesse Raphael. I watch that every afternoon. And we were talking about the best ones were the shitty kids that they would send to boot camp.
Yeah.
Or they just have a fucking drill sergeant come out and yell at some child.
Like, what are you doing this to your mama? You treat your mama like that all the time? It's like, yeah, I do. I have sex with as many people as I want. I had sex with 82 men last week.
You get the whole audience to fucking hate this child. Fuck this little kid.
But then, like, by the end of the episode, like, what do you gotta say to your mama? It's like, I love you, mama.
Aww. Yeah.
Sally Jesse.
Yeah. God, do you remember when Chevy Chase tried to have a talk show? That was a famous 90s failure.
It's awful.
How many times has ABC tried to counter program?
I mean, they eventually got it right with Jimmy
Kimmel.
But
I remember the Whoopi Goldberg show. I remember the Joan Rivers show.
Yeah.
Which got her banned from The Tonight Show. And
Leno, that was when she did her Fox show.
Right. And because Johnny Carson was like, now you're my enemy. Because he's a weirdo. And meanwhile, fucking Letterman, and Leno being an asshole was like, well, nah, I suck the fucking dick of Johnny Carson's ghost.
You know, Johnny Carson hated Leno.
Yeah, right. But he wouldn't let her on.
Yeah, what a fucking asshole. Do you remember the second Tom Green show? The one that was like an actual talk show on MTV?
Oh, yeah.
That only lasted like 6 weeks.
Yeah. Because he wasn't... I heard him recently on a podcast, and his first show, the MTV show, the reason so much of that worked was he said, like, 75% of it was stuff from his public access.
Yeah.
So it's, like, stuff that they had already worked out and workshopped and like, new worked.
Yeah.
So it was really just presenting all of that shit.
Oh, yeah. Like, if you really watch that show, it's just him presenting clips.
Right. But at the time, it was wild. That was pre-Jackass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just him, like, fucking with his parents.
Yeah. And like, that was when that was unusual.
Yeah.
But, you know, Letterman bring on his mom. Stern would call his parents. Mm. Well, you know what? Tom Green brings me to Eric Andre.
Oh, yeah.
Because he really, his talk show, which is really like a post-modern, post-structural deconstruction of a talk show, was great. I mean, there's always some... How many guests have walked out of that?
Oh, my God. So many.
Then there was the one where... Who was the... Oh God, there was some girl from, like, a reality show where Eric Andre throws up on the desk and then starts, like, eating his throw-up and she runs away. Or there was some... Oh, there was some young artist, music artist, and, like, he had a naked guy come out. And like,
yeah, he was like, fuck this, I'm not doing it.
Yeah, he like walked out. And he would always end that show by destroying the set.
Yeah.
Which was a kind of on the nose metaphor for what he was trying to do.
Yeah, and Hannibal Buress being there was just always great.
Yeah. Oh, I love the bit where they're like, Hannibal Buress tries out different pretzels, and he's like, he takes the rolled gold, and then he takes another one, and then he's like, pretzels is the same. What are we doing here? And then it just freezes on pretzels is the same.
Or, like, I love the bits where just anything he does out in the street where, like, it's the shot of inside, like, a coffee house.
Yeah.
And, like, a cop's chasing him inside. He's like, get back here. And then he corners them and then they just start making out. Or, like, for no reason, this clip is bookended by, like, the Seinfeld theme.
Uh-huh.
And it's, like, the picture of, like, outside the diner, and then it cuts to inside, and Eric Andre's just, like, sitting there reading the paper, and a woman comes in and just starts, like, beating him up, and everyone in the diner's like, whoa, what's going on? And she takes out a bag, and she's like, this is a bag of my real feces, and, like, just starts throwing shit at him. And then it just freeze frames, and it goes, like, the Seinfeld theme is, like, executive produced by Larry Charles
and Larry David. Amazing.
But one of my favorites ever is, where someone's going to use the salad bar somewhere.
Yeah.
And he, like, jumps out of the salad, dresses like a salad man. Yeah. And he's like, hey, I'm the salad man. Or whatever. I can be whatever. Like, he's just giving up on the bit. Like, Kraft Punk.
You know who would have great interviews? Sacha Baron Cohen.
Yeah.
Remember because people would, back in the day, before he was famous, people would believe the characters he was playing.
Yeah.
Remember he had Gore Vidal? And he was like, I'm here with Vidal Sassoon. And Gomez goes, no, that's not. Gomez was actually very, like, professorial and, like,
oh, yeah.
Like, didn't get mad at him. But he would have on conservatives and he would ask some crazy shit. Oh, you had, like,
Newt Gingrich on. And-
yeah, and they would be like. It was this thing where, because they thought he was an idiot, they would show a part of themselves.
Yeah, well, even in, like, that new series he did for Showtime.
But yeah.
Like, it's shocking that no one thought that guy he was playing was a
yeah,
fake
he
guy.
Got some. Well, he got some congressperson to, like, endorse, like.
Off. Oh, yeah, to endorse.
Giving babies guns yeah. or something.
And then, like, the ever guy. You got the one guy, like, take his pants off.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, like, butt fuck him. Like,
yeah.
You got a bunch of guys to do a Spanish quinceañera.
I you know, other than those little viral clips, I never watched that new show.
It was very hit or miss.
Oh, really?
But, like, there was some good stuff in it. Like, I like, he had one character where it was, like, a super woke person.
Uh-huh.
And he would go to, like, these small towns where it's, like, super red state.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes to this one red state. And this is maybe, like, the most revealing one out of all of them to me. Like, he goes to this red state and he calls, like, a town hall. And he had framed it as, like, you guys want infrastructure in this town? Like, yeah, like, I have this big infrastructure project. It's going to bring in thousands of dollars. Would you like, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars in infrastructure money to come into this town? Like, yeah, fuck yeah, we want it. And then he, like, takes the sheet off the model. And it's like, we are going to build the world's, America's largest mosque in this city. And, like, the whole room just, like, turns on a dime, like, without even, like, hiding it. Just like, hey, we let those people be here. Like, we tolerate that. Like, we don't like them around here, but we let them stay. Like,
wow. The shitty we get people to say. Remember the first Borat movie? The scene with the fucking frat boys?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Or yeah. Even in Bruno, Ron Paul.
Yes. Yes.
Although to be fair, he did, like, get naked in front of Ron Paul and, like that's my one gripe with the Bruno movie.
Yeah.
Is that, like, okay, I get it. I get what you're trying to do, but, like, if I'm, like, at my day job,
yeah,
and someone comes up to me and just starts, like, taking off their clothes and dancing around, I might have a few questions and walk out of the room. Like,
yeah.
And then the Ali G movie is just a whole different thing.
Yeah, it's just an actual narrative.
It's an actual narrative movie.
Yeah.
I used to love watching clips of Squirt TV.
Which,
I don't know if you remember it. It was a public access show in Manhattan, but then it was picked up by MTV for a season. In like 1996 or 7, I believe.
Uh-huh.
It was hosted by Jake Fogelnest, who at the time was a teenager.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And basically, the public access show was, he would film it in his bedroom, and he would have, like, hit bands, like the Beastie Boys would stop by. He would interview, like, SNL people of the time, like Adam Sandler and Mike Myers. He would have, like, big bands come by.
Yeah.
And then, like, MTV picked it up. It was just this weird, like, original idea of, like, here's a 14-year-old kid, and, like, there's a band in his room.
That's
and,
cool.
Like, now what are you going to do about it?
Right. And MTV was good in the 90s of, like, finding talent and help. I mean, think about Jackass. You know, they didn't make all correct choices, but they found a lot of, like, pre-internet talent.
Like Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah.
Television was great.
Yeah. You know who had really good interviews? And people don't think of this as an interview show. Amy Schumer. She would have one interview in every episode, and she, like, interviewed porn stars, she interviewed transgendered people, she interviewed the creator of Ashley Madison.
Yeah.
And he was, like, he came on with his shtick of, like, I'm a fucking creep and I'm all for it, and he immediately starts to get the idea of, like, oh, like, they're against me, but, like,
yeah.
And she's like, why would you do, like, it's really interesting. And the producer, they show in the outtakes during the credits, the producer has him sign the fuck.
Release.
Yeah, and the minute he signs it, she's like, I think you're a fucking demon. And that Jesse Klein was the producer.
Yeah.
And we find out, what we really found out about that guy was, he wasn't a demon. It was he was just a con artist.
Yeah.
The site was just all men, and all the women were bots and fake accounts.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. Ashley Madison. If you don't remember, Ashley Madison was an online dating site for people to
fucking
for
life.
Cheating. It was for infidelity. And he was all like, hey, people are going to do it anyway. We're just going to help them.
Yeah.
I'm just all about love. That was a great interview.
Do you remember, every once in a while, Regis and Kathy Lee would get an interview, and like Regis would be so out of touch that it would like morph into a good interview.
Really?
Like when he had the Ramones on.
Oh, I never saw Regis with the Ramones.
Oh, it's great. He's like, you remember, like then it becomes like the Chris Farley show.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, remember when you guys invented punk music? It's like, yeah, we remember. It's like, yeah, why don't you talk a little about that?
What year is this you're talking about?
Mid-90s.
Oh, wow.
So probably like their last tour. But
Do you remember when you invented punk music?
Well, my favorite is a couple of years ago when they like put out an album after like 20 years or whatever. Devo were doing a little press tour.
Yeah.
And they were on Regis and Kelly. And Regis is wearing like the Devo hat and everything.
Yeah.
He's like, do you guys remember when you had that song Whip It? And like, yeah, we remember. Like, you think you could play it for us? And like, yeah, then we could play it for you. And then after the song, he's like, so tell me, what is this de-evolution thing? He's like, and they explain what de-evolution is, and Regis is just like, so do you think it's ever really going to happen? And they're just like very calmly like, oh, it happened already. Like, we lived through it. Like,
right. Like, that's our whole thesis.
Yeah.
I can never get into him. I liked Rosie O'Donnell. I liked her daytime show. A lot of people like Ellen. I'm not into Ellen, but a lot of people like Ellen.
Ellen, I can't get into the whole, like, we're going to dance and, like...
I like the bit she does where she scares people.
Yeah.
But Eric Andre does that, too. But somehow...
Exactly.
It's... Oh, Eric Andre had this bit where, like, she has the thing where someone will pop out of the coffee table.
Yeah.
But Eric Andre had this bit where this guy, this creepy guy with, like...
He pops out of the floorboard?
No, he pops out of the desk.
Oh, yeah.
Eric Andre's desk. And then... He's got on Jack McBrayer from 30 Rock, and Jack McBrayer's talking about God knows what, and then this creepy bald head pops out of the desk and goes, how about those deals, Jack? And Jack McBrayer jumps back in fear, and then Eric Andre's like, yeah, how about those deals? This has been Pop Culture Man, children. I hope this was a good episode. We were just bullshitting about interviews. Check some of this stuff out on...
Do it.
YouTube. You'll love it.
You've got YouTube.
Yeah, go ahead and look up some old people. We didn't
yeah, look up old people.
No, I mean look up some people that aren't around anymore. Like there's the a great, really charming old interview with the original Letterman show where he interviewed Mel Blanc. And
oh yeah.
He just Mel Blanc does what you want him to do. He's just a sweet old man and he's like he does the Bugs Bunny voice. He does the Daffy Duck voice.
He's not Alec Guinness. He's like, you know what? This is what
he's like. Yeah, I'm the voice of Bugs Bunny. I'm here. I'm going to give you Bugs Bunny.
People want to love me.
Yeah.
I'm going to let the people love me.
Yeah. Like, look up old people like that, old movie stars. It's so great. Vin, thanks for being here.
Yeah.
Thanks for being on PCMC once again. Thanks for bringing your knowledge.
I will, yeah.
This is Pop Culture Man, children, with the... I hear the kids are calling PCMC. I don't know about you.
The kids
I should do it like Trump does it, where he introduces ideas, pretending like they're a thing that he has introduced. Like, I'm hearing people say PCMC. I don't know, Vin. I'm hearing people say it.
I'm hearing it. Someone told me. I was talking the other day.
I'm hearing people say PCMC. PCMC. Hashtag PCMC pod. You can find Pop Culture Man, children, anywhere podcasts are available. You can follow at Pop Culture Man Children on Instagram. That's all one word, Pop Culture Man Children. Vin, where are you on?
On the Twitter, at Mighty Vin.
Mighty Vin.
And, yeah, that's about it. And there might be some projects coming in the works soon, so maybe look out for those. I'll be on again next month.
Sure. We'll get an update on what you're doing. All right, everybody. It's been a great show. Go bye-bye.